Blog Talk Radio.
Cool Wellness Radio, here to inform you how to have pain-free days and a healthy lifestyle. Cool Wellness Radio, specialize in fitness and physical therapy. We'll tell you all our secrets.
Hello, we are Core Wellness Radio, optimizing your body's potential from the core. Excited to be back. We did take a brief summer hiatus, but we're back and we're looking to fall, and we're very excited about our first guest back. We are going to be talking with Mr. Ray Pugsley. He is one of the owners of Potomac River Running Stores. I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the stores. We've talked about them quite a bit on the show, and I know Dr. E is a big fan. Potomac River Running Stores actually has several area locations, actually I believe it's 8, throughout the region, and they really are our resident expert on all things running and really just celebrating an active lifestyle. So today, Ray and I are going to talk about running for newbies. Specifically, so any of you who are looking to get started on a running program, this is the show for you. We're going to talk about some safety precautions to take, the importance of the right shoe, how that factors in. We'll talk about distance and more. So Ray, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me on. This is great.
Yeah, we're thrilled. We love Potomac River Running Store. So this is wonderful. I know for you personally, and we'll get into the stores and more on running for newbies in a minute, but just a little bit about you. I know in your background you have some running. Is that true? Or were you a cross country runner?
I have a little running in my background. Yes, I started running in high school, ran cross country and track in high school, and then was fortunate enough to be able to compete in Division I college, cross country and track in college. And then once I was done with college, I came down to the D.C. area and ran semi-professionally for a Reebok-sponsored group back in the late 90s to the beginning of just past 2000. And that's where what brought me down to the D.C. area, and that led to me meeting my wife in that training program, my wife Kathy, and then we ended up opening up some running stores and opened our first store in 2003, and now we have 8 stores in D.C. and Virginia.
Great, yeah. And so let's talk about the stores. Why did you and your wife feel that you needed to open the stores? What are you hoping that they serve the people in and around D.C. In terms of just being active?
Yeah, we had been, as my wife and I being runners for so long, we were looking to look at the next phase of our life, and we had sort of standard, typical jobs up to that point. And we said, you know what? What can we do that allows us to be involved with our passion of running and help the community and make a living at the same time? And we looked around and we saw at that point time that there was a need for running stores in the Virginia suburbs. And we started up with our first store in Ashburn and Burke were our first 2 stores. And our business model was to not to try to go out and associate ourselves with a lot of the big, grand, splashy running type events that were existing at the time, but to see what we can do from a grassroots perspective, and really got involved with the high school market and developing new running clubs and helping to sponsor smaller local road races. And we just sort of grew from there, and we got such a great response from the community that we knew that we were doing the right thing. And that's how we've kind of run our business since then, is really looking at that grassroots part of the community component of how we operate our business. And that's very rewarding, and we hope that we can do it for a good long time.
Yeah, you guys really do have a lot of great events. I should mention that for anyone, no matter where they are in their running, you've got 5Ks all the way on up a lot of really good opportunities for people to get out there and just connect with community. So I would encourage our listeners to check out your calendar of events. When we talk about the people who come into the store, you know, who do you usually see? What's a typical customer for you?
You know, that's a great question. It's actually something that we've struggled with for over the years. Many people have a misconception of what a running specialty store is. And if we could go back in time, we might not even have called our store, have it had the word running as prominently displayed as it is. We would have maybe included the term walking or fitness, because the customer that we want in our store is not just, we're not looking for the person who's, you know, winning a road race every weekend. We're looking for everybody. We're looking for the whole spectrum of the community. We're looking for people who just need to be active and need to be comfortable while being active, and we want to help with that. So if someone was to walk into our store, and quite a few people are anxious about walking in their stores, into our stores, they feel like maybe they might not belong, they don't feel like that they consider themselves quote unquote a real runner. But if someone walks in our store, they will immediately see that our staff looks like them, that our product mix is for, you know, they'll see what they see their neighbors wearing. We want to have an environment where somebody who's never exercised much before but knows it's a good, healthy lifestyle choice for them, all the way up to the person who is trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So everybody is welcome in our store, and we try so hard to project that out into the community, but oftentimes people don't see that until they walk in the first time. So anyone who knows someone out there who's nervous about coming in our store, grab them by the hand and bring them in, and I'm sure that they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, that's great. And when we talk about, you know, new runners specifically, you know, sometimes they may need, I say they, like I'm not one of them, I'm certainly one of them, you know, they may need a little bit of an extra push or you know, some extra direction. You know, when we talk about new runners, you know, let's get into some things that might be of assistance to them. You know, the right shoe, for example, I don't think people understand quite the importance of the right shoe for what you're doing, whether it's running or you know, playing tennis or you know, depending on the sport that you're doing. But I know for runners in particular, there is the right kind of shoe, and then even just for your own body. I mean, isn't there a shoe that best fits for the way that you run, for example?
Yeah, great. I'd love to get into a little bit about the shoes. You know, when someone who is a new runner comes into our store, we want to make sure that we can answer any and all questions that they have, and we can, whether it's, you know, whether it's equipment related or training related or injury related, we've got a breadth of knowledge to be able to answer pretty much any questions somebody might have. But the shoes are our bread and butter. That's obviously what brought us into business, and that's our biggest service component that we can provide. What most people don't realize about running shoes is that there is an incredible diversity of shoes in terms of biomechanical constructions and shapes, and of course brands and colors. And I'm going to go through now the differences in the shoes, and I hope people will come away with understanding that not every shoe is for every person, and that a shoe that is really good for one person may not be a very good choice at all for the person next to them, and that it's really important to get the right shoe. So running shoes are designed to either let your foot do what it naturally wants to do if it's doing the right thing, and it is designed to help control your foot if the foot needs some help. That's in a very simplistic terminology, but most people, when they buy shoes, will go into a store and there'll be a wall of shoes, and you see a whole bunch of shoes up there, and you say, oh my gosh, there's 100 shoes. What am I supposed to choose from? well, I really like blue. I'll go ahead and I'll choose the blue shoe. And sometimes you get lucky and it's a good choice, but oftentimes people don't. And they end up actually having more problems than they started with by choosing a shoe that doesn't conform to the biomechanics of their particular foot. And what we do serve to do in the store is to help guide you to the right shoe. So very briefly, shoes come in three general categories. There is what's called a neutral cushion shoe. There's called a stability shoe. And there's a motion control shoe. And those are three general categories for discussion purposes. In reality, there's a shoe that falls pretty much everywhere along that spectrum. Now, a neutral cushion shoe is designed to provide cushioning and protection from whatever you're stepping on. You know, if we run on roads and sidewalks these days, and there's broken glass and nails and you name it, and that the shoes protects you from whatever that might be that you might cut your foot on. So the neutral shoe is for somebody whose foot is working very well and is really not having very many aches or pains or injuries. Many of us, unfortunately, as we age, our arches get more flexible. As the arch flexes, if you can imagine your own the arch on your own foot, if you put weight on your foot and you see your arch flex downward, then you can imagine that your foot rolls towards that closing of the arch. So your foot rolls inward. That terminology is often referred to as overpronation. If your foot overpronates, then the lower part of your leg necessarily rotates a little bit with that flattening of the foot, with that flexing of the arch. And when that lower leg rotates, that puts stress on your body. Sometimes for some people it's in the knee, sometimes it's in the shin, sometimes it's in the foot. And we get a lot of the common aches and pains that plague runners and walkers, such as shin splints or chronic knee pain or plantar fasciitis. Sometimes that rotation carries up a little further in the leg and we get some aches and pains in the IT band, in the hip area, maybe the lower back. So that little bit of motion that you get from overpronation, while not bothering you when you're going to the grocery store, going around you know, your house or at work, but when you start to take on an exercise routine, whether it's running or walking, and you start taking steps, thousands and thousands of steps in exactly the same way over and over again, that repetitive inefficiency in your biomechanics can start to cause wear and tear in your body, which results in aches and pains. And a lot of folks will come in the store and say, ah, I can't exercise because every time I exercise, my knees ache. And we can often look at them and see that they're in shoes that allow them to overpronate, and that overpronation is putting stress on their knees, and we get them in the right shoe, and what seems like a miraculous transformation happens, and the knees stop aching. But in reality, it's a simple technology of getting the shoe, the right shoe for the right person to stabilize the foot. So the stability shoe is a shoe that is constructed in such a way that it does not want to tip to the inside. It does not want to allow overpronation. So if your foot is not rolling to the inside, is not holding its position correctly, and you get in that shoe that will hold your foot flat, then that takes the stress off of the drivetrain, so to speak, and the aches and pains can be either eliminated or greatly alleviated. So once we in understanding that there are these categories of shoes, and motion control is the next level up of stability, and as I said, there's a shoe all along that spectrum. What the next piece, which is where we come into play, is to get you on a treadmill in our store. We have you get on the treadmill, and we have a video camera that shows your feet and a TV monitor in front of the treadmill, and we can show you how stable your foot is. And once we see how stable your foot is, we can classify your foot into a stability category. Now, all the shoe companies make a shoe in each of the stability categories, whether it's New Balance or Brooks or Asics or Mizuno or Adidas, on and on. They all make a shoe in each of the categories. So we try to impress upon customers that you need to find the correct stability category for yourself, not necessarily a particular brand. And once you find that category, we bring out shoes from different brands in your category. You see which one feels the best on your foot. We get you back on the treadmill at the end. You confirm that the shoe feels good in motion. We confirm that the shoe is working biomechanically correctly. And if that checks out, then if you choose to buy that shoe, you can buy it with a high degree of confidence that it's going to work and it's not going to be an expensive mistake. And that's a really great peace of mind, because it's very frustrating to spend $100 on a pair of shoes and then a week later they're killing your shins or your feet or your knees, and then you end up putting them in the back of your closet and chalking it up to a bad investment. We can help eliminate that.
Or you end up in physical therapy, which is something that doctor you talked about. I mean, you've talked about the importance of the stability, of the support, of the mechanics of the way that you run and the way that the shoe fits. These are all things that Dr. E, you know, talks about as a physical therapist, is that, you know, you want to get all those things right, because if you don't, then you're going to end up seeing me. And we would like to help you, you know, kind of figure out a long-term plan, you know, for your running, so that you are doing it accurately and correctly and you can avoid some of the pain.
Exactly. Everybody knows that you're not going to want to exercise. You're not going to be motivated to exercise if it hurts. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who just assume pain comes part and parcel with exercise. And that's not the case. And whether you have a muscle imbalance and you need to go get some physical therapy to get your body and prepared to be able to exercise, or whether it's getting the right equipment, if you take those actions and get yourself in the right place, exercise is a very positive part of your day, not something that you dread because it's going to hurt. And the getting the right running shoe, I would say, if you can get the right running shoe such that you enjoy putting those shoes on and you feel good, then you're going to be consistent. And consistency is really the most important part of getting fit, is being motivated to get out there and be consistent.
So when someone's choosing a shoe, do they need to talk to you a little bit about, you know, where they are running, where they intend to run? So is there a difference between a shoe for somebody who primarily runs outside or runs on, through not the mountains, but, you know, on paths and things like that, versus somebody who maybe sticks to a treadmill or runs through the city? How important is the surface that you're running on?
It definitely is worth the conversation. So when someone comes in our store, what we want to have a conversation with that person about not only where they're running in terms of their surface and inside outside what surfaces, but also what level of fitness they're in. There are variations in the shoes. Not so much for whether or not you're on a treadmill versus outside, but definitely for whether or not you're on a forgiving surface versus a non-forgiving surface. Mm-hmm. We sell some trail shoes. Generally, however, trail shoes are constructed with the concept of running on the Appalachian Trail, hiking in the Rockies, not necessarily running down the cinder part on the edge of the WNOD trail. So a running shoe itself, a regular running shoe, can accommodate most of the surfaces around here. Because our trail running is not necessarily the definition of someone who's out west. But we do sell trail shoes for people who are running on aggressive terrain. The reason not to get a real trail shoe for just anything that looks like it might be a trail is that if you're on a hard surface most of the time, your trail shoe will wear out a little bit faster because the outsole is designed to be pliable and grab the nooks and crannies of a trail, whereas a real road shoe is going to be able to withstand being on concrete and asphalt a lot. So in terms of how long your shoe is going to last, if you're always on trails or on aggressive trails, a trail shoe might be great. If you run a mix of things, a regular road shoe is probably going to be your best choice.
And I know that I'm guilty of this, keeping my running shoe for years and years. That's not necessarily the right way to go either, though, right? I mean, how often should we be changing out our shoes?
That's a great question as well. We generally, the guidelines for shoes are that you need to replace them every 300 to 500 miles. Oftentimes, if depending on if you're not using your shoes with a high volume of exercise, maybe we want to think more in the 6 to 8 month range. Some people like to think time, some people like to think distance, but and the reason for that it's I always like to tell people it's not a number that's sort of grabbed out of thin air. The materials in a running shoe are designed to try to maintain their integrity at close to 100% of their of what they feel like when they're new for as long as possible. They want you to feel when you're halfway through the life of the shoe, they want it to still feel awesome and be doing everything that it was when you bought it. The trade-off on that is that when materials fatigue, they will fatigue faster when they finally get to that fatigue point. And statistically, from all the major brands, the cushioning in the shoe starts to really break down at a higher rate sometime after 300 miles. So what we always tell people is if you can roughly keep track of the miles on your shoes, then when you're between 300 and 500 miles, you should self-assess yourself and say, are my knees hurting more? Are my shins hurting more? Does anything feel different than it used to, even though I'm in a consistent routine? And if the answer is yes, then you want to change your shoes closer to the 300 side of that mileage range. If you feel just fine at 400 miles, then you can carry them on a little bit out towards 500. But statistically, once you get the 500 miles, the midsole, which is really the most important part of the shoe, the part that's providing the protection from the protecting your body from the pounding of the exercise, that midsole will be compressed enough that it's not doing its job the way it's supposed to. And one other thing I will note is that I should be using running and walking interchangeably in this conversation.
Okay.
Running and walking, we have lots and lots of walkers that come into our store. So walkers, welcome in. The fitting process in the store is done just the same for a walker as it is for a runner, except that we have you walk on the treadmill if that's your primary activity. And another question I get about shoes is walkers will say, should I have a running shoe or a walking shoe? Running shoes are the sort of top of the mountain in terms of technology, and the major brands, they put most of their energy resources into developing a running shoe because running is so rigorous on the shoe. So if you are a walker, most walkers these days are buying a running shoe to walk. If you buy a walking shoe, you should not run in a walking shoe because when you walk, you heel strike necessarily. So the walking shoes focus on the technology in the heel, whereas a running shoe needs to be able to handle impact from the heel to the forefoot, midfoot, and forefoot. So these days, most walkers are buying running shoes because of the better protection and because of the greater variety of shoes, getting something that fits them just right.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's great. We talk a lot about walking. I know Dr. Lee gets a lot of questions about walking. It's definitely an important part of people's exercise routine, especially as they're gearing up to start running. We have about 6.5 minutes left. I thought maybe we could pivot a little and talk just generally about some other things that you recommend, you know, for new runners. One of the things that we talk about is accountability and running with others or running groups or running partners. Where do you stand on that sort of thing?
Running with people is great. Sometimes it's hard. We're busy and our schedules don't match up with other people. But running with others gives you a sense of security. It gives you a sense of camaraderie. And it gives you almost somebody to answer to. It can help you be consistent. So I always encourage people to try to have a partner for all of those various reasons. It's a great journey to share if you're training to just simply get fit to run your first 5K or to run your best marathon. It's a great journey to share with somebody else and with a group of people. So I highly encourage running with groups, and there are lots of them around. There are local running groups in the various neighborhoods in Northern Virginia. There are groups that are based out of our store, which are just fun runs in the store and or training groups that we have where you're in a group setting, you're learning the fundamentals of running. So I definitely highly recommend running in groups. Now, some people will say, oh, I like to run on a treadmill versus being outdoors, which is preferable. I like to say that treadmills are great if they're going to keep you consistent. If you have the opportunity to run outdoors, I think running outdoors is a better option because one of the things you can run with people, but also you're more exposed to the real life conditions such that when you do go outdoors, it doesn't seem like a surprise. And the treadmill has exactly the same surface always. When you're outside and you're stepping on surfaces that lean left, lean right, have bumps, it's a little bit, it reduces that repetitive action over and over again, and it gives you a variety of muscle uses. So being outside versus on a treadmill, I think, is great if you can do it, and then running with a group is even better.
Well, and along those lines, what about weather? When you run on a treadmill, you obviously know you have a very controlled weather situation going on, but running in heat versus running in cold versus running in, perfect ideal temperatures, do you have any recommendations about that? Particularly, fall is a great time, to start running because of how nice the weather is. But what about when it gets cold out? What are your thoughts on the way that weather can impact us as we gear up to start running?
Yeah, it's obvious. It's very easy to run in the spring and the fall. Those are the best times to run. But if you're going to be consistent and you want to be as healthy and fit as you can be, you kind of got to forge through those tough times in the summer and the winter. And as we're in the summer right now, my one comment on the summer is, just be kind on yourself. A lot of people have checkpoints when they run, and if they're slower at their checkpoints, they get mad at themselves. Understand in the heat and humidity that you are necessarily going to need to run slower, and just enjoy the run in the summer, and when the fall comes back, you'll see you're back and fitter than ever. So just kind of get through the heat in this winter. There's more things that you can do to keep yourself comfortable. You can only take off so much clothes in the summer, but in the winter, you can add layers, and you can add visibility to keep yourself safe so that you can be outside in the cold after in the dark after work. So in the winter, we want to think about layers and safety. Start off with, for someone who's new, we want to look at clothing that is going to keep you warm and comfortable. We want moisture pulled away from your skin, so we're always looking at wicking materials. And as you're starting to build your winter wardrobe, you want to look at what's closest to your skin first. So your socks and your shorts and your base layer shirts, and invest in wicking fabric that's touching your skin. And then as you develop your wardrobe, you want to have outer layer shirts and jackets and hats and gloves and so forth that are also of the wicking material, because that'll keep you comfortable. And those wintertime products have reflective hits on them, of reflective material, so that you can stay safe when when cars are coming your way or whatever else in the dark when it's hard to see you.
Great. So push through and you'll adapt, I guess is what you're saying, and there are things out there to help you do that. We have about a minute and a half left. I just want to to let any of our listeners know if you have any runs coming up, for either newbie runners or even the seasoned runners out there.
Great. Yeah, we put on a lot of events. We have our own events, and we time a lot of other events where people come to us and ask us to help. And if you go to our website, it's prraces.com. So that's prraces.com. You'll get to see a whole list of races that we put on. We've got one coming up in September 6th, called the Great American 5K in Fairfax Corner. That's coming right around the corner. If you're looking for a good 5K to finish up the summer, that would be a great one. But if you go on our website, you'll see a whole lot of other events from 5Ks to half marathons on there.
That's great. And we do encourage our listeners to go and check them out. Ray, I want to thank you so much for being here. This is great, just chock full of tips for new runners. Any of you who are, want to check out Potomac River Running Store, definitely do. You can find them online at PotomacRiverRunning.com, and they're on social media as well. And, you know, as for us, you can find us online at alexanderphysicaltherapist.com or give us a call at 571-403-2673. If you have any additional questions about what you heard, we can connect you with Ray or the guys over at Potomac River Running Store. And, you know, we're on social media talking about this issue all the time. Ray, thank you so much. It was great to speak with you, and happy running, everyone.
Well, thanks for having me.